Today on the Trend Out Loud podcast. For anybody out there that has a passion and a desire for something and has been told no, this is a story that should provide you hope. What up? It's your boy Trend Out Loud and I'm back with another episode. All right, I got a good show set up for you guys today. Not a big show, but still a good show, man. All right, I got one lead story today. We're going to talk about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fighting on Netflix. I got a lot to say, actually, about that subject. Then we're going to jump over to quick news. We're going to talk Kamora Lee Simmons and Usher. We're going to talk about child support while being pregnant, Diddy being outside, CDC signing Risa Tisa, and Stephen A. Smith comparing himself to Jay-Z. Then I got question of the day. I got an awesome question of the day today. I actually really love it. If your ex was on fire, what would you use to put it out? I got really funny comments from the comment section. And then, of course, we're going to end the show as per usual with a little bit of sports news. We're going to talk about Draymond Green beating Larry Bird at 3 points. Y'all know what time it is. Turn your TV, radio, or devices up. I'm about to start this show. Let's go. The date and the venue is set. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson will be fighting live on Netflix. Yo, this is huge news. This is not just huge news for boxing fans. I don't even look at this as a quote-unquote boxing match. This is huge news for entertainment. This is huge news for content creators. This is huge news for the entire just entertainment industry. It excites me when I see things like this, man. Listen, I always try to glorify and shed a light on content creators. I feel like content creators are changing the landscape of entertainment, and it gets me excited. Obviously, I myself, I'm a content creator. I'm a podcaster, a YouTuber, and I keep getting on this microphone and talking to you guys about what the future is, and this is an example of what the future is. The fact that this is on Netflix, on a streaming service, and it's not on, for example, a pay-per-view or like HBO pay-per-view or what's the other one they used to have them on all the time? Anyways, I can't remember. But yeah, it's not a paid fight. It's not a paid card. It's not on TV. It's on a streaming platform. What I always talk about, streaming is the future. How the NFL had a game, the Kansas City, I think it was Kansas City and Buffalo game, streaming on Peacock. Now you have Mike Tyson coming back to fight Jake Paul. Jake Paul is an influencer. Jake Paul is not a quote unquote boxer, people. Quote, Jake Paul is a YouTuber. Jake Paul is no different from me. I mean, listen, I'm starting out on, you know, as a YouTuber, content creator, etc. He never was a podcaster, excuse me, but he got his start on YouTube. He fought on YouTube and he just built up a following putting out YouTube clips about his life. And his rise, man, as an influencer. And I love every second of this. I can't wait to find out how much he's getting paid for this fight. This is huge, huge, huge news. That's why I had to put this as a lead story. And as you can tell, I'm excited about it. Yo, this is a win for my YouTubers. This is a win for the podcasters and content creators out there. Rejoice, man. This is a good day, man. This is a really, really good day. All right. Let me get into telling you guys a little bit about the fight. Mike Tyson is hopping into the ring with influencer turned boxer Jake Paul this summer. The duo are scheduled to go head to head in a live match July the 20th. The event is set to take place at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, and will air on Netflix. The co-founder of Jake Paul's talent agency, Most Valuable Promotions, tease what fans can expect and said in a statement, Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson is once in a lifetime dream matchup, and I will anticipate that it will be the most watched boxing event in modern boxing history. Okay, I don't know how much I believe that because I think that the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao was the biggest, but the man has a fight to promote, so I digress. Jake Paul's company signed a deal with Netflix for a boxing card last November. His anticipated face-off with veteran Mike Tyson will serve as the platform's first combat broadcast, but third real-time sports special overall. You may have become antiquated with Paul after he defeated former NBA star Nate Robinson on the undercard of Tyson's 2020 exhibition match against Roy Jones Jr. Tyson said of the upcoming event with Paul, "Jake Paul has grown significantly as a boxer over the years, so it will be a lot of fun to see what the will and ambition of a kid can do with the experience and aptitude of a goat. It's a full circle moment that will be beyond thrilling to watch. As I started him on his first boxing journey on the undercard of my fight with Roy Jones Jr., and now I plan to finish him." Paul has a 9-1 record with 6 knockouts, while Tyson flaunts 50 total victories and 44 via knockout. He's long been deemed Iron Mike, as he's often referred to as one of the greatest heavyweight boxers of all time. The former YouTuber gushes about the chance to take on Mike Tyson on his social media, posting and writing, "The biggest fight of the 21st century in the biggest NFL stadium in the U.S. broadcast live on the biggest streaming platform in the world. That's the MVP way. Whether you're tuning in on Netflix or you're showing out in person, whether you're Team Paul or Team Tyson, or whether you're a lifelong boxing fan or watching your first fight, you're not going to want to miss this event." Yo, I'm beyond excited about this, as you can tell. This is going to be a good match. Of course, you know, there's going to be people, especially like traditional boxing people, that are like, yo, Tyson shouldn't be fighting Jake Paul. He shouldn't be giving him these kind of looks, et cetera, et cetera. And while I can understand, you guys know me pretty well by now, I always like to try to understand both sides. And I get it. Jake Paul isn't your traditional boxer. And he didn't come up the traditional way, making his rounds as an amateur, et cetera, et cetera. But to those boxing fans, those traditionalists, this is not a boxing match. This is not a title match. This is an exhibition. This, to me, follows under the umbrella of entertainment. This is what Floyd Mayweather has been doing since he's retired. And like I just read to you, this is Mike Tyson's second exhibition match. And I think, actually, I don't think, I know, this is the future of boxing, of wrestling, of all of these sports, man. You know, other than, you know, NFL, NBA, NHL, those sport teams, I don't think you'll ever see like exhibition style like that, because you need a league for that. But these independent sports, these solo sports, like, you see that they're trying to do that a little bit with golf. Of course, there's Golf Live, but then there's also like The Match, where it's like Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. Like, that's what the future is, man. Like, independent, where you own something outright and then sell it to a network, and no longer always having to depend on, Showtime Boxing or under these boxing club conglomerates and having these gatekeepers. That's what makes me so excited about this. You could build up a name for yourself and your audience, and then put something together and go to a streaming platform or go to YouTube and say, I have this, I want to sell it to you. That's what's amazing about this story. Forget about Mike Tyson being a boxer or Jake Paul not being a traditional boxer. This is a story and success for a new generation and a new outlook on entertainment. And I'm happy to be a part of it. And it's just a good look, man. It's just a good look for the future. And it's a good look for anybody out there that has a passion and a desire for something and has always has been told no from gatekeepers, whether it be in the music industry or a boxer, whatever you try to do, whenever there's a gatekeeper holding you back from your audience, this is a story that should provide you hope for the future, that you could do it too. All right. I know it sounds a little corny, but I'm telling you out there, this is a big look. So shout out to Jake Paul. And actually the huge shout out should be to Mike Tyson for signing on for this and giving Jake Paul an opportunity and giving content creators an opportunity, man. So shout out to Mike Tyson. All right. That's it for my lead story. Let's jump into quick news. Ring my bell. Kamora Lee Simmons jumps into the Russell Simmons and Usher conversation. I told you guys last episode that Usher should not have gone out to Bali and hung out with Russell Simmons and put it on his Instagram. No problem if you want to go out there, but you shouldn't have let Russell put it out there. He has gotten so much backlash. I covered it last episode, 196, for those of you who want to go back and see it. It was like the highlight of that episode. I really went in, and I thought it was such a huge mistake. I thought it was wrong for Russell to do it to make himself look good and try to get some clout, the stuff that he's dealing with right now. And like I said, he's going to get even more backlash. It's not going to go away. He shouldn't have opened Pandora's box. And now look at what Kamora Lee Simmons wrote. She wrote on her Instagram, "What is this I'm seeing in the news today? Laugh out loud. Y'all some wild boys, for real, for real." Then her next post was, not by my bed, laugh out loud, referring to Russell Simmons' post when he said, I'll try to bring it up and put it up, but I'm not going to read the whole thing again. But when Russell put out his post, he was like, "Usher, it was my boy. He was by my bed when I was at my lowest point." And it's like, just why would you drum up all of these things right now with all these Diddy allegations going on every day? There's a new person being sued for sexual allegations. Like, why would Russell Simmons open up his mouth at this time? Why would Usher go over there and have him Instagram it? Like, it's so beyond me that these two heavyweights that have been in the industry for the past 30 or 40 years would do something like this. Anyways, and of course, you know, Kamora is always like beefing with Russell. So I think it's kind of dirty that she would do this, to be honest with you. But that's his ex-wife, and they haven't been overly friendly or supportive of each other. I think it was like even last year where Russell Simmons' daughters were dragging him for being a horrible father. So I just don't understand why Russell would open himself up. But like I predicted, here's Kamora, you know, entering into the conversation and just bringing more heat Usher's way. I hope for both of their sakes that this is the last that we hear about it and this story doesn't keep on dragging along. But people are still talking about Usher and Russell, and Kamora is just adding to the fire. I hope it calms down, and when we start a new week next week, we're no longer talking about Usher and Russell. That's a tongue twister. Next week, I hope we're not talking about Usher and Russell. There you go. Kentucky State passes bill to allow parents to collect child support during pregnancy. Bill heads to House of Representatives for consideration. What in the world is going on here? I'll read this story to you guys. The Kentucky State voted on Tuesday to grant the right to collect child support for children during the pregnancy stage. According to ABC News, the bill, which won Senate support in a 36-2 vote, would allow a parent to retroactively seek child support payments up to 1 year after giving birth. State Senate Whitney said that the bill deemed Senate Bill 100 shows support for the idea that pregnancy carries an obligation for the other parent to help cover expenses during that time. "I believe that life begins at conception, but even if you don't, there's no question that there are obligations and costs involved with having children before that child is born." For sure, there's some cost before a child is born, but I mean, child support is more like about like food and, you know, travel and living and food, you know what I mean? And clothing and like, you know, putting a roof over a child's head. Like I'm trying to see both sides of this, and I can't get it. Like, a woman becomes pregnant, what would be the costs? Like, I don't have kids and I'm a man, but I mean, like, what are the costs, like, that extreme that you would have to put somebody on child support and garnish their wages? Like, you're still living somewhere. You're still living under a roof. You still have to eat. Okay, you have to eat a little bit more. Like, I don't know. I hope my women audience is not getting mad at me out here, but I don't know. Like, anyways, I'm going to go to the comment section and see what people are saying, but I don't know how I feel about this. Ashley Brown wrote, "Will a DNA test be mandatory? Women put babies on men too often." Very good point. DNA. Then Melina wrote, "DNA test should be mandatory then." So exactly. Like, I didn't even think about this. Like, how do you prove that I am the dad if while the while you're pregnant? Like, can you get a DNA test 3 months in, 4 months in? Like, when does the child support start? Like, I am very confused by this. Ebony Dove wrote, that's parental support at this point. There is nothing on earth money can buy a baby that's not here. That's exactly my point. And somebody wrote under their comment, doctor appointments, the well-being of the unborn. Like, how much does it cost to go to a doctor's appointment? Like, what am I going to do? Split the gas with you? Jamel Hill wrote, maybe now more men will join the fight for reproductive rights. MSY283 wrote, why get pregnant by somebody that you got to put on child support while carrying? Well, things happen like that. That's really not, that really doesn't really make sense. But why get pregnant with somebody that you have to put on child support, period? Like that, you cannot predict what a relationship is going to happen. Look at me arguing with people in the comment section. Crystal Star wrote, child support before a DNA test is nasty work. Free Thought 92 wrote, so if the woman lied to the man about the child being his and later on he finds out it's not his, is a woman going to go to jail? Like, what's going on? Yeah, I don't know. I don't really agree with this bill. I don't see how this can even make sense. As long as you, if you cannot prove that the child is yours, you cannot just put somebody on child support. So yeah, I don't agree with this bill at all. News alert, Diddy is outside. TMZ caught up with Diddy outside, and they said this. Diddy has been keeping it low in Miami, but he's back in LA and out with his boys, Justin Combs and Christian Combs. Head over to our stories for more pics, etc. Yo, I just wanted to talk to you guys about this quickly. There's really nothing more about it, but Diddy being outside. This is Diddy warming us up. Last week, he took a picture of his baby girl in a car seat and wrote my love or daddy's love or whatever. And I was like, yo, Diddy, what are you doing? Because people were like, stop, don't do this. Now, this week, Diddy's taking pictures with his sons outside. And this looks like a setup. I'm going to play the video while I'm describing this. And for those of you who are just listening to this, go to my YouTube page, Trent Out Loud, to see the video. This looks to me like it's staged, and a celebrity stage these things all the time. It's like, yo, TMZ, I'm at this restaurant in LA, catch me out here. Like, Diddy was like posing for the camera, doing little things with his hands, saying thank you. His sons were like, yo, thank you, whatever. This was all staged. So I think Diddy is warming us up to something, and he's testing the waters to see how the reaction online is going to be. And the more people that are like, yo, let him live his life, let him do this, yo, I think all these things, and then him and his publicists and his people will be able to say, hey, this is the gauge. So this is what Diddy is doing. I didn't think he was going to do this for a while now, but the Cassie thing happened in December. We're looking at January, February, March. It's been 3 months. To me, it seems a little bit soon. I mean, he just had a new case like 2 weeks ago or a week now from Little Rod. I think it's a little bit early, but he could be, you know, just like in his house, like going crazy, being like, yo, I got to go back outside. Or what I really think it is, it could be a money thing. Cause the longer Diddy stays at home and he's not outside, is the less money he makes. Diddy has always made his money off of being a quote unquote influencer. Like Diddy is like the OG influencer. You know, his drink Ciroc, Diageo had that drink. He just signed on and promoted it. He's at clubs, he's at parties. Diddy is the ultimate partier. That's how he made all his money with Ciroc. The same thing like music. He's a great producer and he's a quote unquote rapper, but he's always been about like finding people and promoting them. Diddy is a marketer. So the longer Diddy stays at home, you know, hiding himself from the media, the less and less money he makes and the further he goes down to never not being able to come back out. So this is what we're seeing. So we'll see what he comes with next week. We'll gauge. I don't know if I took a little bit of screenshots. No, I don't have any reactions of people. I didn't take any screenshots, but I did look at some comments and some people were like, yo, nice to see Diddy outside. So we'll see. We'll see the reaction and then we'll see what he's going to do next week. It's the same thing that Kanye West did. After his allegations, he went quiet. And then, like I told you, he was out in Miami. Then he released his socks. Then you inch up. Then you see him out with his wife. And then two or three months later, he has an album out, and his album came out. It was successful, broke some records. Now he's back. And then the Adidas shoes, Adidas launched his Yeezys, and now you see him being quiet. So this is the same kind of thing. Like these big celebrities, they have tons of the best publicists and marketing people behind them. So I'm really interested. You guys know I love this about Hollywood and about entertainment industry. We'll see what Diddy is going to come up with next. And we're going to see if Diddy can get back into people's good graces. Will he be able to win everybody over? That's impossible. He's going to have the haters, but he's had haters before. But if he could get to halfway up and start making some money again, that remains to be seen. So I'll keep following and let y'all know. CAA signs Ressa Tessa, the creator of Who the F Did I Marry? And for those of you who are wondering who CAA is, no, not the car company. CAA is a talent agency, and they have a huge roster. CAA represents Shonda Rhimes, Samuel Jackson, Reese Witherspoon, Zendaya, Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, and Ava DuVernay. Like, did you guys hear who I just named off as CAA's agency? I mean, CAA agency, who they represent? Like, this was not just some little actors. These are Hollywood A-lister blockbuster. Like, Shonda Rhimes is Scandal. What's that Netflix show? Oh, gosh, I can't remember. Beaverton? Not Beaverton. Oh, my gosh. Beaverton or something like that. Whatever, that love story. But Shonda Rhimes is huge out here. And she also did is it ER? My gosh, sorry. I should have been a little bit more prepared. But yeah, I think it's ER. Anyway, Shonda Rhimes is huge. She's a big show writer. Samuel Jackson, we all know. Reese Witherspoon, Zendaya, Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, and Ava DuVernay, who's also huge. She's a producer and a director. Wow, man. Yo, I got a round of applause, man. Let's go. I told you guys last episode how happy I am for Ressa Tessa. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. I'm so happy for her. For those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, let me remind you one more time in case this goes over your head. Ressa Tessa is a TikToker, content creator, which is why I'm so happy about this story. She got on TikTok. She gave a 10, she did 50 episodes, 10 minutes long about her husband that lied to her, that lied to about his job, and coaxed her into marrying him. And he was nothing of what he was. He was a big, huge liar, and everything was unveiled. And it's literally been the talk of every show, whether it be podcast, whether it be radio show, TV show, or whatever. She's all over the place. Good Morning America, everything. And she was even beefing with Charlamagne, if you missed it. But last episode, I was talking about how much hate she's getting because she's now on the cover of magazines and she's on all these talk shows. And people are like, you know, I should just get online and talk about my ex-boyfriend. And I should get online and talk about how bad my love life is. And I got on those people for hating on her for that, because it's not just about telling a story. It's how she told the story, that she made 50 episodes, and you can never predict what's going to happen with online. That's what's the beauty of content creating. You can't take what she has done and now think you could replicate it and get the notoriety or the attention that she's getting. That's the beauty with online. It's organic. And if you create if you could create a reaction or emotion from people, that's what will go viral. And it's just how she delivered it is who she was. I think that's because she was a Black woman. She was a big Black woman. That's what started the whole big back conversation with her and Charlamagne. And it spiraled out. And, you know, there's a lot of people that's hating on her because she just jumped on TikTok and told her story. She is going to be capitalizing off of this. I hope she sits down and gets a show going with Shonda Rhimes, and she gets on a streaming platform, and her story becomes a scripted series. That would be amazing. And she's going to be famous off of this. She's going to be making millions of dollars. And it's exactly what my lead story was about. It's about content creators. It's about streaming platforms. It's about YouTubers. It's about influencers. And I'm telling you guys, we're in the beginning of a new age. We've already been here. This is nothing new, but this is taking it to a next level where content creators, their lives are going to be the scripted series. Content creators, YouTubers, social media influencers. Don't forget, Kim Kardashian, it was an influencer, pretty much still is an influencer. When people ask, what does Kim Kardashian do? She's an influencer. That's actually a real job. So, yo, shout out to Risa Tisa. That's a tongue twister. Actually, you know what? It said that her real name was here finally. I finally found out her real name. Shout out to Risita Johnson. Risita Johnson. Risa Tisa. Anyways, man. Shout out to the content creators. Yo, this podcast is dedicated to my content creators out there, man. Let's go, baby. Stephen A. Smith compares himself to Jay-Z. All right, Stephen A. Smith is catching a lot of flack out here for his comparisons. And people are completely missing the boat on what he's saying. I'm going to play a little clip and then I'll come back.
I see Hov. I'm not going to say like me. It's more me like him because he's the man. Mm-hmm. He wants to be number one, yeah. But he wants you to get yours. Once. And that's me as an analyst and a commentator.
Yo, he made it very clear in there. Yo, he's not saying that he is Jay-Z or has the money of Jay-Z. That's what people are like, oh, how dare you compare yourself to Jay-Z? All he's saying is that, yo, Jay-Z is the number one person in his demographic. Like, he's the number one rapper. He's in his genre, he's the best. In Stephen A. Smith's world, he's the best. First Take is the number one news analyst show, whatever you want to call it, for the past 11 years. He's been number one. So in their respective demographic, they are number one. So that's why he can make the comparison, right? Second of all, the bigger comparison that he's trying to make that people are missing is he's saying, listen, a lot of people like to be number one and don't like to help other people while they're in that number one spot and just look at other people as competition. Jay-Z has been known to work and to bring up other people. Hence Roc Nation, his management company. Rihanna, Kanye, more presently, Megan Thee Stallion. We can go on and on. Meek Mills, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's a plethora of people that are signed to Roc Nation. And that's the same thing you see Stephen A. Smith doing, signing Shannon Sharp. Ryan from The Pivot is over there. You have a lot of younger talent, again, coming from online, having podcasts. Shannon Sharp, yes, was on Undisputed, but Shannon, the thing that really, that Stephen A. Smith liked about Shannon Sharp is what he was doing online, being a content creator. So shout out to Stephen A. Smith for noticing what these young content creators are doing and bringing them up and putting them on the First Take platform, which is indirectly gaining them more notoriety and more views on their content platforms when they're not on First Take. So I applaud Stephen A. Smith for doing this. The headline is very misleading, comparing himself to Jay-Z, because even me, when I saw it, I was like, what? Stephen A. Smith comparing himself to Jay-Z? But when you drill down and you open your ears and you listen, he's just saying that, hey, we're both number one in our respective fields, and we're both trying to we're both trying to bring up. I can't think of the word. I'm having a bad day with words today. What's the word I'm looking for? Evelate? I don't know what the word is, but bring up, all right? We're both trying to bring up the people around us. And I applaud Stephen A. Smith for that, man. All right, this brings us to question of the day. I told you guys at the top, this is a hilarious question of the day. If your ex was on fire, what would you use to put it out? Let's go to the comment section. 92.7 NYC wrote, I heard you gotta fight fire with fire. Yo, that's dirty. Be prepared. These comments are not nice at all. King Rome wrote, let's normalize not needing to talk ish about our exes after we break up. Okay, that was nice. That was nice, King Rome. Capone 198 wrote, I will not interrupt God's plans. Cold, man. Miss Delude wrote, his mama's ashes. Yo, some of you people are sick out there. Yo, that's really dirty, man. Auntie Jane wrote, alcohol to stop the bleeding. I can't know if that is good or bad. No, I think that's bad because that's going to add to the fire. Horrible people out there. Shabazz Jenkin wrote, water, it's a human being in distress. They need help. What's wrong with y'all? Exactly, man. Portia 82 wrote, cooking oil and water. Wow, y'all are cold. Yo, cooking oil. Yo, that is dirty. Streets underscore talk wrote, my other ex. Wow. Gold N Hundi wrote, wow, y'all need therapy. Yeah, y'all need therapy, man. Let go, man. Let go, people. Jeez. Benson underscore Benson wrote gasoline. Somebody else wrote gasoline. Somebody wrote oxygen. That because y'all know oxygen breeds, makes fire go. Somebody put an emoji of like a little character peeing. Yo, you guys are really bad, yo. Another person wrote gasoline. Toxic baby psycho wrote 100% alcohol. No wonder why your Instagram name is Baby Toxic Psycho. I am Boogie Black wrote lighter fluid. Just horrible. Lighter fluid. Bacardi 151. So B underscore Dominic wrote gasoline and some chopped wood. Yo, y'all are crazy out here, man. Listen, yo, my exes are my exes, and that's fine. Once you're my ex, I'm no longer thinking about you. You're no longer a part of my life or my thought process. So you're just like another human. If I see another human out there in distress, I'm going to try to save that person's life. So whatever blanket or well, now I don't know water because people are like acting like water would be bad, but I don't know. Whatever it is to save my ex's life, I'm saving my ex. That's it. All right. This brings us to sports news. Draymond Green has more three-pointers than Larry Bird. Yo, when I saw this, I literally had to Google it and look at two or three different stories just to make sure that somebody wasn't trolling out there. Yo, how is this possible that Draymond Green has more threes than Larry Bird only has 649 threes and Draymond Green has 650. This just goes to show how messed up the NBA is. Larry Bird is one of the NBA's like most known players for three-point shots. Like that's what Larry Bird is known for. If Jordan is known for dunking, Bird is known for three-point shots. So, but just to show you how much the game has evolved, the fact that Draymond Green, a defensive player, has more threes than one of the most iconic three-point shooters of all time, should be an alert to the NBA that they need to make some changes. I did hear, I think it was last week, that the commissioner has commissioned a group to look into how they could change the league from being so offensive, offensively easy. I think I'm, you know, me and my words today are not working. But yeah, there is a commission to find out why the league is so offensively driven and what changes they can make to the rules so we don't have so many offensive goals being scored. Look at the All-Star game. Like the total of the All-Star game was like 400 and something. It was the most points in an All-Star game. Like it doesn't make sense. The rules are too soft. Like the foul rules, bring back some fouls. Let people get in there a little bit, man. You know what I mean? And there needs to make some changes because the game is starting to move further and further and further back. People are taking more threes, and I think that it's going to be detrimental to the league if we're just sitting back here and literally just like draining threes from the arc. Like what? This is not basketball, man. My basketball that I love is, you know, having handles, getting to the rim, getting into the paint, you know, mid jumpers. You know, I'm not saying that I don't like a three-point shot. Like, of course I love it. It's a beautiful thing. But we got to be careful here. If Draymond is beating Larry Bird and Larry Bird was in the 80s, we're only talking about 30 or 40 years. ago. And like, yes, that may seem like a long time, but it's really not that long. The NBA needs to look at their rules. And I hope this commission that the commissioner has hired does something and we could get the game back to its like original form. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It's your boy, Turn Out Loud. For more content, you could subscribe, download, or listen to the Trend Out Loud podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, or you could watch us on YouTube. Just search Trend Out Loud. For showtimes and updates, you could follow us on all social platforms at Trend Out Loud. Go to signupexpert.com/Trent. Once you sign up for all betting apps and get all your bonuses and get all your rewards, go to your app store and download BetStamp and use promo code TOL.